One of the unique characteristics of the Christian faith is the teaching of the Trinity. That's a dogma, a doctrine. One of the unique moral teachings of the Christian faith is forgiveness. Forgiveness is essential for us as Christians, as part and parcel of who we are. Christ forgave us from the cross. We are obliged to forgive others. And it's in being forgiven by God that we are then able, or we receive the grace, to forgive others. We recall that in the Lord's Prayer, the only prayer given to us from heaven to earth, we have that section or part, forgive us our trespasses, which means sins, as we, or in as much as we, forgive others who trespass against us. So, in order that we might be forgiven, we seek forgiveness from God. It's not a matter of feelings, but facts. And in being forgiven, then we are able to forgive others. We might not forget, the scars may remain, but the reality is there, forgiveness within the heart. And in these days, during this plebiscite moment in Australian history, we need much forgiveness towards others. Perhaps already your voting form has arrived in the mail. You might be wondering what the Church's teaching is on this whole issue of marriage and SSM. Pope Francis says we should vote no. Some Jesuits, being Jesuits, clouding the issue, say we should vote yes. The Church says we should vote no. Why? Well, firstly, it's not because we dislike other people. There's no hate or harassment there. We're not like some people in society saying these people ought to be condemned, we should banish them, we should punish them. No, but at the same time, the Church doesn't say that we should forego marriage for the sake of a minority group. The reality before us is not a reality of equality or love. These partners or couples can love each other, no one's stopping them doing that, nor do they have their rights taken from them. If they want children, they can have children. The issue is not so much equality or love, but the issue is, as John Howard said recently, civil rights. Behind the push for SSM, behind this vote, behind the plebiscite, is a bigger picture. Many of us are sick and tired of the agenda that comes into the media every day, the papers, the radio, the television, every day it's a feature somewhere. And we're all fed up with the whole thing, and many of us perhaps think, well, just give them what they want, give them their so-called rights, and we'll move on to something else. How we wish it was as simple as that. Because once we give them their rights, we lose our rights. That's the issue. That's why John Howard has come out of retirement with much experience and wisdom and said, where are the protection for civil rights? That's the big picture here. Because other countries in the world have already granted, yes, to SSM. They have equal marriage rights. And with their rights, we have lost our rights. What rights? Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of education, freedom of association, freedom of employment. There are ministers, clergy in jail for teaching what the Bible teaches, that marriage is between one man and one woman. The Archbishop of Hobart himself, merely for putting out there among Catholic students and Catholic schools what the Church's Catholic teaching is on marriage, was taken to the Anti-Discrimination Board. I'm sure in a few years' time, if things keep going the way they are, if I cite certain texts from the Bible, I myself could be indicted for a hate crime and sent to jail. Businesses have been closed down. Look at those bakers in Ireland who refused to bake a cake for a certain couple. Look at other camps, places, industries. Charities have lost their rights, have been penalised merely because they wouldn't take up the agenda. This agenda has caused people in academic circles to pull back lest they be called homophobic. No, my dear people, other countries, Canada, New Zealand, England, places in America have shown quite clearly There's a civil rights agenda here that's being pushed, and if we're not wary, we could lose all our rights. What I mean, all our rights to declare and defend what we hold as sacred, that is, marriage. Many people think, well, look, it's all much the same thing, it doesn't really matter. No, the effects will be catastrophic. And this reminds me of a little story. It's all about two men going into a pub. They go into a pub and one sits down and says, well, I'd like a glass of H2O. And the other man sitting next to him says, oh, yeah, okay, I'd like a glass of H2O too. Both get glasses put in front of them. Both drink their glasses. One dies, one does not. What happened? Well, it's a chemistry pun, really, because H2O, as we know, is water. But H2O2 is not water. H2O2 is hydrogen peroxide. It looks like water. It smells like water. You'd swear it is water, but don't drink it. Why? Because it's a bleacher, a cleanser. It will destroy you. It's toxic. One oxygen molecule added to water makes hydrogen peroxide, a deadly chemical. And that's what we're dealing with. Something might look like marriage, might feel like marriage, it might appear to be like marriage, but if we take it on board, it will be toxic to our society. Furthermore, there's two issues here with regards marriage and the loss of marriage, and these are subtle but important. Firstly, no one has the right to steal. You don't have the right to theft. Nor do you have the right to fraud. Theft. Who owns marriage? Where does it come from? Who invented it? Who has the patency rights? Marriage doesn't belong to the government. No state in the world owns marriage. Marriage, according to everyone's Bible, Jews, Christians, Muslims, comes from God. In the first book of the Bible, we read about how God created male and female, yoked them together and said, be fruitful. Marriage is His plan for us. It's His invention, His institution. It's divine, not human. No government, no state in the world has the right to claim it as their own and dismantle it and sell it. And that's what they're doing. And that they'll have to answer for before God. It's His, not mine, not yours, not even the church's. But the church is called to defend what belongs to God. So we don't have the right to steal. And this cuts across all groups in society. Bigamous, polygamous, no one has the right to claim marriage as their own. One man, one woman, that's marriage, that's his invention, and that won't change. People may change the laws, but they can't change the reality. And that reality we'll be confronted with when we die. The second point is this, is fraud. People claim they can dismantle marriage and make up their own version of marriage. And it's the same thing. Well, that's a lie. That's fraud. I say that because a triangle is defined as a three-figured symbol. Three corners or three angles. That makes your triangle. Only three. Only three sides for one triangle. You might know somebody who's big on having sides connected to things, and they're a lobby group, and they come along, can we add just one little side to this triangle, just down the bottom, it won't make much difference, look the same. Can they add a side to the triangle? They might like to, and they might still call it a triangle, but once they add a fourth side, it's no longer a triangle. It becomes a square, a rectangle, it's something else. It's not a triangle. So too, marriage can't be altered. You can't just place whatever you want into a relationship and call it marriage. Either marriage will cease to be, or you have something that's a fraud, and that's what we're embarking upon. Marriage must remain as it is. It can't be dismantled like a triangle. It must remain as it is. Call it something else, but don't call it marriage. So the reality is we need to defend our rights and be mindful of what the real agenda is. It's not about love, it's not about equality, it's all about God's plan for us and the future of a sacred institution we call marriage. Neither we protect it and defend it, or we lose it, as many countries in the world already have.